And we have not enjoyed everything that's been going on. And the food every night has been excellent. I don't usually eat before I preach, but I got looking at the food, and I told myself, when I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to eat when I get there. I'll just wait till after we get done, I get home, or I'll eat something before I go. Well, when I got here, my control mechanism broke, and when I began to look at the food, so Sunday night I eat. Tuesday night, Monday night I ate. And tonight I ate. Now, we don't have but one more night. And since I've already blowed three, I just want y'all to know that I'm not going to control tomorrow night either. I'm just going to eat. Amen? But it has been good. And all the ladies, we want to say thank you for what you've cooked. For my part, I've enjoyed it. And the fellowship while we're eating and all. And also for Miss Jenny, I declare, that gal, she's got it going, hasn't she? And I'm glad y'all got a young preacher's wife. Woo! To get into all of that. Yeah, give her a hand. Man, she needs a hand. Yeah, yeah. My wife and I, we've been preaching in the ministry now almost 50 years. And she could still do it, but she used to do the same thing. But boy, thank God for those that are around now that can handle this and keep it rolling. Amen. So we appreciate that. It's been a blessing to be with you, talking to you about our families, and sharing with you from the Word of God. A new thought that I've got that y'all are getting, and I appreciate y'all's help with me there. And this is just something that, using the seven churches and using parts out of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and I was going to show you something tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians, chapter number 5. I know y'all been waiting for me to get here. I've been waiting on John and Jennifer to get here before I got this verse out. I heard they was going to try to come this week. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. No, I'm just kidding. That's what John called me and said, he asked me when I was going to be getting around this. I said, probably be around Tuesday night. He said, we'll see you on Tuesday night. I'm just going on. It's good to see him and his wife and their children. It's good to see everybody. I'm just glad to be in the house of God. I'm glad I'm saved. We celebrated 52 years of marriage just this past June. And everybody says, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, pat you on the back and all that. And that's good. Some of y'all have been married. We got people in our church that's been married, some of them, for 70-some years. Think about that. Several families at 60 and 60-some years. They call me boy up there. Y'all didn't get that. Y'all ain't old enough to get that. But we have celebrated 52 years of marriage, and it's been a blessing to be married to her for those many years. But I want to promise y'all right now, for all of you that's been married any time at all, it's always a struggle and a battle to keep your home and your marriage in the place it ought to be. And all of us, and I'm going to say this to you now, I want you to listen. All of us are failures somewhere and always have to get along with God and get some help. Nobody's ever just went through their marriage perfect. Y'all might think we do sometime, and I would even like to think we do sometime. I'm even shocked when Teresa tells me things ain't right. I'm just totally shocked whenever she says, you know, we got a trouble here. And I'm always wondering what you doing, what you doing wrong, you know. I've been always amazed, you know. But the Lord has helped us and blessed us. And we're 52 years down the road, and with the help and grace of God, we're going to finish this race married, loving God, and trying to love our families and our friends. And that's what it's all about. I didn't get into this, but in the book of Genesis, when Jesus created man, I got on this a little bit last night. He created man and gave him a woman to be his wife, and he gave him dominion over the whole earth. I hear a lot about this dominion thing. I heard a little bit about it coming down here, but I talked to you last night about it. And it says over the animals. And I got thinking about this. I just got to get this off my chest. Y'all ready? You can just hold your amen till I get done. Cats and dogs don't rule the house. Did you get that? It's deep now. I'm telling you. I know y'all having to think about what I just said. It's going in. Is it there yet? Or have you got it yet? Yeah. Cats and dogs do not rule the house. Amen. 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 Now, if y'all got a cat or a dog, it wasn't a slamming them. I like dogs. But cats and dogs do not rule. Man has dominion over them. Amen. Y'all get that tomorrow, I reckon. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me read a few verses to you. And this is going to clarify. I saved this kind of till tonight. This is going to clarify where I've been coming from out of Genesis. I mean, out of Revelation for the main thoughts. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse number 18. Well, we could go to verse 17 because he's talking about, and it gets down into the family, the home, the marriage, the man and the woman. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's important. A lot of people used to make fun of Brother Sammy Allen by him saying all the time, you ought to know the perfect will of God. Or he'd say, this is the perfect will of God. But there's a lot to that. Knowing the will of God is probably one of the most important pieces of knowledge that a person or a family or a church could have. And it's knowing what God wants. Now, you can read this Bible and you can find out what God wants about the home. We said something the other night. I wrote them down right here. I've written down so many little things. The commands and the will of God for the home is be fruitful. Multiply. That's what he says. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over it. The family is the most important unit in this world. The family is. It's more important. Matter of fact, you couldn't have a church without a family unit. I'm talking about a family now to carry out the plan. Then the Bible says in verse number 18, and this is the way that the will of God is known and lived in. Be ye not, now watch what he says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now I want to just say this as we're moving slowly tonight, because we got tonight and tomorrow night. I want to cover some things tonight, but I want you to understand something. Without this important work in a person's heart and in a family, you will never succeed, period. I want you to understand what I'm telling you. You'll be like a yo-yo. You'll be up and down because you'll be doing everything and trying to do everything in the flesh. And it doesn't last. Flesh living only lasts for a short period of time. And when the flesh gets through and when the flesh wires out, you bottom out and you have to start. That's why so many of our church people are up and down, in and out. We have very little knowledge of walking and living in the Spirit of God. That is one of the key elements of a Christian life, is that we have gotten so hung up in the years past. And we've gotten so hung up in programs and all kind of things like that. But I want to tell you something. We've left the Holy Spirit of God out of the main mix of our churches and our homes. And I want to say to you right now, if the Holy Spirit doesn't control a home, then you have problems. And I mean, and you're going to have problems anyway, but you won't have a smoothness in your home. It's hard for me to explain. I hate using this terminology. Really, I feel like it's so holy to talk about the Holy Spirit. But He's like an oil. He just makes it smooth. He does. We mess it up, but He makes it smooth. I praise God for the Holy Spirit. So what we need to really learn about in our... And listen, we've been made so afraid of Him because some people says it's going to make you act or do different. It doesn't. It just makes you live like a normal Christian. And it helps your family. And I'm not going to get into the fruits of the Spirit tonight, and because y'all probably already know those. And that's, there's so much that we can. This thing about the family is not a 3 or 4 or 5 or even 8 or 10 night thing. This is a long process. Then it says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It didn't say anything about Elvis, rock and roll. Are y'all? I'm serious with y'all. Are y'all with me? Amen. Hymns and spiritual songs. Things that affect the soul and the heart and not the feet. Y'all understand me, don't you? I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I don't mind my feet getting in it when I hop up and maybe even take a lap around the church sometime. And I have been known to do that. My feet do get excited, but my soul gets excited first. And I get wanting to praise God or just get happy with the Lord. But then it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another. Now listen to what it says. These are verses that we read, but sometimes we read them so quickly. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's something to submit yourself. But it's one thing when you submit yourself, you do it in the fear of God. In other words, your submission is based on the fact of how God feels about it. My submitting to my wife, and you say, "Oi, Matt, preacher, you got that wrong. You're going to read." No, my submitting to my wife, you're going to find out that we all submit one to another. There is a submission one to another. You're going to see this. But we should do this in the fear of God. God, is this right? Am I doing okay with this? Amen. Amen. Then it says right here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. This has always been a verse. It's always had this little tag on it. You can tell how submitted a woman is to the Lord by how submitted she is to her husband. Y'all heard that? I reckon some of you younger ones might have not have ever heard that. But that's what this scripture's saying. You can see how submitted your mate is to the Lord by how she is submitted to her husband. That's what it's talking about with the ladies. I'm just reading the scripture. Then it says here, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, we talk about submission. That's one great thing. But for the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church means that he gave up everything for the church. And that means that the husband should give up everything for the wife. I'll talk more about that later. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Now we're talking about the Lord presenting the church to himself as the head. I think one of the worst things that a man can do is downgrade his wife. You understand me? I'm talking about beat her down. I've heard people say, you just wouldn't believe. If you lived at my house, you'd blah, blah, blah. I've heard people say stuff like that. Just not necessarily church people, just out in the world. Just hear them say it. But I heard an old preacher say one time, he said, listen, if these people badmouth their wife like that, it's not the wife's fault a lot of times. He's got what he's made. Do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of men have what they've made. And that's what this verse is saying right here. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, and even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives, or their wives as their own bodies. That would be good if a man loved his wife as much as he loved himself. That's my biggest downfall. I mean, I'm not here confessing. I confess all the time. I hate confessing. But this is one of my downfalls right here. I like myself sometimes more than I like somebody else. I don't think y'all have that problem, but that has created a lot of problems in my life. But we ought not be that way. The Bible says right here, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Now, I know what it's saying about loving himself, but I'm talking about a whole different thing. But nourish and cherish it even as the Lord the church. Talking about his flesh, meaning his wife, because you are one flesh. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. See, there's so many things that we don't touch and we haven't touched that's created a lot of problems in our homes. And this is one of them right here. And just for a minute, I'm just going to touch it. When a man and a woman gets married, it's good for the mom and daddy. The Bible says when you leave, it don't mean you cut them completely off. That's wrong. But it means you honor them. But it also means that you've stepped out now to make your own decisions. But I even think, and I counsel younger people, and younger couples, and I don't care how old you are, if your parents are living, it's never wrong to share with them what you're about to do to get some help and see what they think. Then it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Here's where I wanted to get to, but all this fits together. This is what Paul said. This is a great mystery. Boy, he's right. This is a great mystery, what he just said. You're talking about a mystery. The family is a mystery. And he's talking about how the family's like the church. It's a mystery. He said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, he said, what I just got through telling you about how a husband and a wife ought to be, I want you to know that that's just like what the church ought to be. Now, I'm reading this tonight and saying this because of what I said Sunday night and last night using the book of Revelation with the seven churches. If the Lord had to speak to the churches in the way he did, and Paul says in Ephesians that the Word of God says, I'm giving you an illustration of how a man and wife should be in a family, but I'm also showing you a mystery about the church. It's interesting. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, with that being said and being read, I want to talk to you about three things tonight, if I can get through them, and I believe I will. I want to talk to you tonight about some things. Now, last night we talked about the two churches that did not need a rebuke. The two churches that are found, and out of seven, two out of seven, that means that there's five more that needed rebuke and two that didn't. We covered all that last night. So in every church, there's families. Some churches probably have more families that are trying to live right and holy than some other churches do. But on the average, there's always a few families scattered out through a church that tries to live in every way possible the right way for God and to please Him. So that means that there's a whole lot of families that haven't learned yet, and they're not given to the fact and to the place to want to live totally for God. That's where the rebuke comes in. Now, the Lord wrote to seven churches. If you would, we're not tonight because of time, but if you want to, you can look in Revelation 2 and 3. You'll find the seven churches. Here's what you're going to find about each and every church. That God said, or Jesus did, here is the one speaking to these churches. I know. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So we're here tonight, and we've been here for the last couple nights, and we've been talking about the family. But I want you to understand something. He knows what's going on. Now, that's sometimes a little bit of a scary thought. He knows. We might can hide it from the members, We might can hide it from our parents or the preacher or from even one another. But there's one thing that's known here. God knows what's going on. That's a very serious statement right there. So I want to talk to you tonight about some of these churches and some of the rebukes they had and why they had it and how it applies to some of our families. The church at Ephesus is where I want to go first. He rebuked this church. Did you know that this church had the highest standards of any church in the seven? Did you know that the church at Ephesus was probably one of the most straightest, doctrinally, biblically sound churches that probably has ever been formed? The Bible says, and you can read it, I don't have the time to go through here, He commends them on their stand, their protection. He even says, you even try the prophets, you try the leaders, and if they are not found right, you boot them out. And he even said, y'all have so good of church discipline. If somebody in the church family messes up any at all, y'all immediately discipline them. Boy, y'all got a clean group of people. Clean. But he said, I have somewhat against you. And this is what he said he had. He said, you've left your first love. I wrote down this right here to say tonight, what's happening in a lot of our families that we need to guard. This is a big thing that we need to guard right now. It's very dangerous. It can happen. It does happen. It happens in churches, and that's where Jesus is. But the people he's talking to are families that it happened to. And here's what he said. He said, y'all have got things down pat. He said, some of your families, everything is straight in them. Y'all pray, you read your Bible. All your family people dress right. You don't have the outside world coming in. When it comes in, it's like a bird, like a bee zapper or a bug zapper. Y'all ever seen a bug zapper? I think the bug zapper is the greatest thing that's ever been invented. Some people spend thousands of dollars on aquariums so they can sit there and watch them. Some people spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on fireplaces to sit and listen to the crackling of the wood, even if it's not real. But you can buy a bug zapper for about $49. And you can set it on your porch and hang it and have more relaxation just by sitting there and listening it, zzz, you know, zzz. And then sometimes you can hear, y'all know what I mean? How many's ever had one or heard one? I really like them. I really do. I do. I know it might, for you bug lovers, it might not be a pleasant thought. But I'll just be honest with you. That's how this church was. They was like a bug zapper. You call it a sin zapper. Boy, if anybody came into church and they wasn't spitting white and walking right, zap! Y'all understand what I'm saying? They disciplined them right. That's what he said. I'm telling you. I'm just trying to give you a picture of how straight Ephesus was. But then he made this statement. He said, but you got a real problem. I've got a problem with you. You've left your first love. Do you know what kind of church it is that has all the duty and all the doctrine but no love? You know what kind of church that ends up being? A Pharisaic church. Because see, here's where it begins. Because, see, love is what makes everything work. Without love, it doesn't work. Tinkling cymbals and sounded brass. The greatest of these is what? Love. You can be as straight as you want to be. I told our church just a couple weeks ago. I said, I'm just telling you right now. I hate what's going on in this country. I hate everything that's happening in this country. But I've always had this in my heart, my preaching in my head, and the Bible, I believe, teaches it. Everybody's welcome at our church. Anybody's welcome. As long as they're not causing any trouble. And I'm just being honest. Anybody's welcome. I don't care if they're a sodomite, transgender. I don't care who they are or what they are. They're welcome. that's welcome to come, not to be a member, not to participate, but they're welcome to come. And you know what we're going to do when they come? We're going to shake their hand, and we're going to say, we're glad you're here today. Because how little do we not know that God might have allowed this be the time they come in. This might be the only time they ever come to hear the Word of God. So we need to have that love for people. Love for people. Love covereth a multitude of sins. Are you with me right now? Now here's the thing with that though. Sometimes churches get caught up, and that's who Jesus is dealing with here. Sometimes churches get caught up with doing everything just right. And I'm the kind of person, I want things done right. I really do in the church. But sometimes if you're not careful, you'll end up like Ephesus. You'll do everything right, but you won't have any love with it. And it'll be hard. It'll be carried out, but it won't be in love. And this is what happens in a family. Some families are right. They're so right. Boy, everything's right. And I wrote beside that word, no love. Do you know what happens in what he's talking about in this church? No love there, but only duty. It just becomes a duty. And whenever something is just a duty, it's like going to work and not liking your job. You perform. You do it because you have to do it. It's like teaching Sunday school when you come in and you go to the class. It's nothing but just teaching. You just center, that's all it is. And you'll be glad when it's over. It's a duty, but no love. It's like in anything in the church. Ephesus had that. They were strong and straight and doctrinal, but they had no love. And their love meant for God. That's where the love was. Homes are the same way. Sometimes our homes come to a place to where we get hung up on rules and minding. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're going to look at that in just a minute. And minding. But when all this comes about with no love, and it becomes just a duty for a man to be a husband, and it comes just a duty for a woman to be a wife, then there's no love there, because he says we've left our first love. And in the church, he said, repent and do works that remember how you used to do it. You did the same thing, but you did it with love. And the same thing with a home. And this is a big danger. I wrote this down right here. And I write things, these little things down, especially when I'm doing something new like this. But I wrote this down. This leaving our first love and just getting into duty. Sometimes the Bible, and this is what it says, it happens even when we get caught up in the battle. And this is the danger today. It's always been a danger, but this is our danger for our families today. You can get so caught up in trying to make your family straight and right and even protect them. And that's what we're here trying to teach you to do, is protect your family. But we can get so caught up in the protection of our family that we get away from the love. Are you listening? It's like I've told young couples and counsel them when they start having trouble. And I'll talk to the man who works all the time. I'll talk to the guy that gets caught up in and he's got to provide. He's got to have this and he's got to do that. And he's got to have this and got to do that. And most of the time, certain situations arise. If a person gets hung up in that and making sure everything's done and everything's... the very thing that he's trying to protect, he loses. Are you listening to me? And that's the danger. You can protect your home. You can do all that you have to do to make sure as a man and a wife that your home is secure. But make sure you don't ever leave that love for one another and for the Lord. And don't make your rules, and this is hard sometimes, more important than loving. Is that not right? Now, some of this is by talking to other people, and counseling, and some of us by personal experience. But you got to be careful that you don't make your rules stronger than your love. Here's the second thing real quick. That's happening in our families. The church of Ephesus, Jesus dealt with that. He said, listen. He said, love. Protect your home. Like Jesus said to the preacher, protect the church. But don't forget love. The second thing is this right here that Jesus talks about in these churches that our homes need is loyalty. He talks about this, and I went through here with the church at Thyatira. We'll look at that church in just a minute. Pergamos, all of these churches. And listen, the church at Pergamos is an amazing thing, and our families are the same way. Jesus said, you do this, you do that, you do this, and you do that. He said, you're straight here, you're straight here, you're straight here, you're watching here, the doors are barred there. He said, but I have somewhat against you, and this is what I've got against you. You're loyal, you're very loyal to me in the world that you're living in, and they lived in a wicked area. He said, but I've got this against you. You have allowed the Nicolaitans, and the doctrine of Balaam to come into your church. Now, you know what the Nicolaitans were? They were a people that wanted these people, and I don't have time to give an explanation of it. You can look it up. But the Nicolaitan doctrine of the Nicolaitans was to tell the church, they were in this church telling them that doctrine was going through the church saying, you don't have to be so peculiar. You can give in some. Loosen up. Y'all understand? Jesus said, I've got a problem. Y'all are loyal and you're doing good, but you've allowed to creep in a doctrine of the Nicolaitans and Balaam. Balaam, if you want to know about Balaam, reading the Numbers 24, 5, and 6, and in those areas in 27, he came to curse Israel. But he couldn't curse Israel because God wouldn't let him. What God has blessed can't be cursed. Hallelujah. Amen. But here's what he said. He told the king, I can't curse them like you want me to, but I'm going to tell you how to beat them. Let the prostitutes of Diana, the woman, the god of Diana's, march out in front of the soldiers of Israel, entice them, tickle them, play with them a little bit, show their bodies to them, and lead them to the sacrifices of Balaam, and they'll follow. And Israel's soldiers did that. Then they married the prostitutes and the women, and they infiltrated Israel, and they lost. Here's what he says here. Quickly losing, leaving. And listen, I got one more night, so I got a good one here I was going to get to, but I might have to wait till tomorrow night on it. But now here's the thing. He said to these people in Pergamos, here's what he said. Y'all are good families. You're doing really good, and you're very loyal to me. But you have unaware let things creep in that has taken away the holiness out of your families. You know what I said last night when I said the two families that he don't rebuke, the reason they were spiritual and blessed and tried to do for God is the things they fought? Well, the things they fought, the church at Pergamos let it come in. See, some of you are good families right now. You're good families. And here's the pressure right now is giving your kid a phone. You better listen to what I'm telling you. Kids don't need phones unless it's these kind of phones that does nothing but dial a number to the grandma or grandpa or mom or daddy if they got trouble. But no kid needs to be handed a storehouse of wickedness. Are y'all with me right now? Adults can't even handle it. And you don't think for one second you're going to trust your kid with it. Are y'all listening to me right now? I'm saying that we've allowed things, putting TVs in their room. while you're asleep or while you're giving out for the day and you're finished and all you want to do is rest. Kids aren't. They're active all during the night. They got energy. They're loaded. They've eaten candy and chewed bubble gum. Are y'all listening to me? And they're ready for action when you're ready for the pillow. And if they've got a TV in their room with a button and I know y'all don't really, this might not really appeal to you, but I'm just wanting you to understand something. I don't even like to say there's nothing wrong with television, because there is something wrong with television. Y'all have heard this for years. It's been mocked and laughed at and played down and run over. But that is a very, very, very evil avenue to mamas and daddies and children. And I'm saying, but it's when it's unharnessed and when it's unprotected and when there's no supervision at all. And let me tell you moms and dads something. Shame on moms and dads that watch things that even their kids ought not watch. Are y'all with me? I'm talking about things. Now, I know there's things like mystery stories you don't want your kids to see and all that stuff and all that. But I'm talking about wicked stuff. Y'all hear me? This family, this church here was a good church. He said, y'all are good. You're loyal. But you've let things slip into your church. And you wonder sometimes, why are we as spiritual as we were? It's because these things have come in. They've came in and they've taken away the edge. And they've grieved the Holy Ghost of God. And he said to them, he said, you're a good family. And you're fighting and you're trying to keep things right. But you've listened to outside sources that said, don't be so tight. Loosen up. Are y'all listening to me? You work for a person, you go to the job, and all you hear from them all the time is, you're just a holy, holy Joe. Why don't you go out to loosen up, son? You can't guard your family against all of these things. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can. What do you want me to do? Just to turn my family loose to you? Huh? Do you want them to come over to your house where your kids have freedom to watch anything they want? They got their phones, and everywhere they go, they're sitting there looking at it like it's right here, even in church. You want me just let them, you want me to let my kid be like that? No, sir, no, ma'am. Are you listening to me? Little things that have slipped in. Good families in our churches, but we've let others and outsiders and the modern day talk say, you don't have to be so straight. The Nicolaitans, that was their doctrine. Loosen up. You're not going to ever get to them or win them or affect them if you don't try to be like them a little bit. But the Bible says, come ye out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Our families have listened to reason and not revelation. And we're leaning on reason, and our reason, it'll get us like Adam and Eve. It'll get us in trouble. Now, I've kept it really calmed down real good tonight. I really have. Because I want to make these points, because this is danger signs for our families. I reckon in closing tonight, tomorrow night I'm going to talk about leadership in the home. But I want you to listen to this right here, and this is very important. Now listen. Evil is knocking at every one of our gates. That's why the husband and the wife need to work together to guard the home. Are y'all listening to me? If we don't guard our home, we'll be coming to our church. And if we let these beliefs slip into our homes, if we let these doctrines slip into our homes, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The book of the last of the seven churches, not the last chapter. What was it? What's the last church? Laodicea? I'm going to show you where Jesus ended up through all of these seven churches. He's on the outside knocking to get in. That's why we have so many homes that's leaving the church. Because the world crept in. And I'm going to tell you something. The world is not your friend, folks. You can have fun. You can go fishing. You can go boat riding. You can go hunting. You can go bowling. You can shoot bows and arrows. Camp out. If you keep God first. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when you let other things along with those things pull into your family without a Holy Spirit monitoring and a Bible guidance and a church with a man of God that preaches the Bible helping you, you're going to have big trouble. Here's what Jesus said. I know thy works, but I have somewhat against you. Now, these are warnings. I'm finished. 130 seconds and I'm done. You will not get this kind of warning off of the commercials of television and off of billboards on the highway. You get these kind of warnings from the Word of God and from the church and the Sunday school. Are you with me? Jesus, thank you tonight for loving us, watching over us, and keeping us. I hope I've not been too scattered, trying to cover so much area and just hitting on certain things. I want to be faithful in what we're doing here this week. And I want to thank you for the privilege to be able to talk to these folks about the most serious place besides the church, and the church is the home. Please help us tonight to check up on how we're doing and what's going on around our place. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.